Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continued readings from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6. The demigods and demons declare a truce. Text 38. Girim charopya garute. Hastanai kena lilaya. Aruya prayayo abdim. Surastura gnervataha. Girim charopya garute. Hastanai kena lilaya. Aruya prayaya abdim. Surasura gunervataha. Girim charopya garute. Hastanai kena lilaya. Aruya prayaya abdim. Surasura gunervataha. Ajis. Girim charapyuka bhute. Astanaya hevaya. Girim, the mountain, cha, also, aropya, placing Garude on the back of Garuda, hastena, by the hand, ekena, one, lilaya, very easily as his pastime. Aruya, getting on. Prayayao, he went. Abdim, to the ocean of milk. Sura Asura, Ganai, by the demigods and asuras. Vritta, surrounded. Translation. The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk, surrounded by the demigods and demons. Please repeat. The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk, surrounded by the demigods and demons. So if my pronunciation isn't so well, just raise your hands and I'll try to speak more succinctly. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is proof of the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone. There are two classes of living entities, the demons and the demigods, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is above them both. The demons believe in the chance theory of creation, whereas the demigods believe in creation by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The omnipotence of the Supreme Lord is proved here, for simply with one hand he lifted Mandara Mountain. The demigods and the demons, he also lifted, placed them on the back of Garuda and brought them to the ocean of milk. Now, the demigods, the devotees, would immediately accept this incident, knowing that the Lord can lift anything, however heavy it may be. But although demons were also carried along with the demigods, demons, upon hearing of this incident, would say that it is mythological. But if God is all-powerful, why would it be difficult for him to lift a mountain? Since he is floating innumerable planets with many hundreds and thousands of Mandara mountains, why can't he lift one of them with his hand? This is not mythology, but the difference between the believers and the faithless is the devotees accept the incidents mentioned in the Vedic literatures to be true, whereas the demons simply argue and label all these historical incidents mythology. Demons would prefer to explain that everything happening in the cosmic manifestation takes place by chance. But demigods or devotees never consider anything to be chance. Rather, they know that everything is an arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the difference between the demigods and the demons. Om Agyanti Marandasya Janam Janashalaka Chakshum Milita Miratasmai Shri Guru Vedama Shri Chaitanya Marabhistam Stapidam Yenabhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichnanda Shri Veta Garadhar Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Rama Hare Hare. Translation repeated. The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk, surrounded by the demigods and demons. So how many people haven't been around for the last week? I don't know if I need to catch up with the thing. Anybody? No? Everybody's been here. Oh, yes, okay. You already read it, probably. Okay, so I can just start away here. So you might imagine you've never met the devotees, you've never read anything from Prabhupada, and you read this, just the translation in this Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, what would you be thinking? There's this blue person, he lifted a mountain of gold, not just a mountain, but a mountain of gold, put in the back of a bird, and brought these people back to life. I was preaching to a preacher at the University of Arizona, or wasn't preaching, I was preaching, distributing the books, and some preacher stepped in. And he made some comment like this, with a smear, with a smirk. You know, hey, these guys believe that, you know, this blue person puts a mountain on this bird, you know, or something like that, you know. So, there's a difference of perceptivity from the demons and the devotees. The demons consider this, you know, if how many times anybody's distributed books at universities, how many times have you heard, oh, yeah, I got this book in my mythology class, you know, the Bhagavad Gita or whatever. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm taking this in my mythology class. It's like, God, what a dig, you know. this is how they're taught. This is simply mythology. Demons conjure up their own interpretation that suits their ill motives. Accepts theories like the chance theory and all the byproducts that follow such theories like slaughterhouses and so much. It requires an enormous amount of energy. And gradually they glide to lower planetary systems. Whereas the devotee, he's intelligent. He's going, okay, why should I invest so much in my own perceptivity with so many defects, tend to make mistakes, tend to become illusions, so forth and so on. they'll find some authority, somebody that knows something. You know, Vedic scripture, authorized acharyas, and accepts the statements of the previous acharyas and the Vedas as factual. And because they accept the acharya's statements and the Vedas, they naturally take up the process of devotional service. And by doing that, they have a realization of Krishna. So they know what is what. Prabhupada says only a devotee knows what is what. So he's realized that nothing happens by chance. Everything's, you know, Krishna is behind the scenes. He's the cause of all causes. So what is the primary element that separates these two different viewpoints, the demons and the devotees? Do you have any ideas? It's mentioned briefly in here. I'm using the word faith. Faith. One is faithless, one is faithful. Prabhupada defines faith in Bhagavad Gita in the purport. As I perform my devotional service to Krishna, I attain all perfection. Is this clear enough, Prabhu? Should I speak a little more clearly? Okay, just no problem. The no faith people, what do they get? You know, 440 Bhagavad Gita. Ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. We have 9.3. Ashwaradana purusha dharmasya purantapa prapimanam vartante mrityu samsara vartmani. 9.3. Those who are not who not have any faith in the revealed scriptures cannot attain me. Those who do not have any faith in devotional service actually do not attain me. O conqueror of enemies, and they fall down to the path of repeated birth and death. And what do they get? They get the qualities of not such great qualities. Pride, 16.4, pride, arrogance, conceit, harshness, ignorance. These qualities belong to those of demoniac nature. And 16.23, what is their destination? Or what do they get? Yash shastra siddham apnoti vartate kamakarataha. Was it? Nasa siddham apnoti na sukham na param gatim. Those who have no faith in the revealed scriptures and act according to their own whims attain neither happiness nor perfection nor the supreme destination. So faith is important, obviously. That's what you get if you don't have faith. And if you do have faith, the qualities are different. The destination is different. Text 439, Bhagavad Gita. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge. And having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. What kind of qualities does he have? 16.1 through 3. So many wonderful things. fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, nonviolence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. So those are nice qualities. And they realize things as they are, as I already previously mentioned, 1855, bhakti mama majanati yavanya chasmi tatvataha tatomad vatvadav yatva visite tadnantaram. One can understand me as I am as the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by devotional service, and when one is fully conscious of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So we see quite a difference. It's like night and day. By the way, the Warped Tour, you see such far-out tattoos and T-shirts. One was with a knife through a skull, blood coming out. It said, earn death. Like, this is the goal, to earn death. Let's commit a lot of sinful activities and earn death. Come on, guys. This is, and I saw another T-shirt, the darkness disturbs the light. You know, this is the, they're having fun, I assume. Anyways, so the difference, faith is so important. Nectar of Devotion 1.4.15 begins, Adau Shraddha Tatasadhu. In the beginning, there must be faith. And the verse continues, leading to the processes to Krishna Prema. Krishna prema, pure love of Krishna, is the only thing that will satiate the soul. So intelligent people go for the goal. So since faith is so important, how do we get the faith? You know, this is such a major issue. How do we get faith? This should be a natural question. Prabhupada says we become like that which we associate with. We associate with drunks, we become a drunkard. If we associate with the faithful, we become faithful. something I'll mention later on. Prabhupada is in his books. Some people, they live in the association of the community, or I've heard this a lot. I'm not saying I agree with it, that the sadhus here aren't so advanced, and so I'm leaving. Yeah, usually it's just pure envy. But anyways, even if you think that way, well, just read Prabhupada's books. You're associating with Srila Prabhupada. And you'll become perfectly faithful. And also, that's one, associating with the faithful. And two, why not simply apply Svetasthara Upanishad 638 in one's life? Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. I'll repeat that because this is a biggie. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So we can see examples of living entities who have done this and how much bliss they're getting, thrill at every moment. we can see how empowered they are, how much wonderful things they can do. Like, of course, in the purport, or in the verse, we got Garuda. You can imagine, I mean, how many of us, Krishna's about to put an ocean, I mean, a mountain of gold on your back. You might go, whoa, 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 wait, oh, you know, something like that. But Garuda's not doing that. He's going, yes, Master. Thank you, Master, for the service. And he knows that Krishna will empower him to do the service. So he just surrenders and does wonderful things. And, of course, Srila Prabhupada, and then Science of Self-Realization, we will find the arrival address. Prabhupada's revealing his mindset before he starts the preaching in the West. And he's saying that he's unqualified, that he's most fallen. He doesn't have faith in his own material abilities and his shastra. He's not saying, I know the shastra so well, I'll be able to preach here. I've got so much physical prowess, I've been doing my hatha yoga, you know, or whatever. You know, he's thinking, I'm the most unqualified. But he's saying, Krishna, you are the greatest, and I have, one thing I have is full faith in the holy name. 100% faith in the holy name. So he has faith in Krishna. The name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. He has full faith. And, of course, he's asking to be a puppet for Krishna to use, instrument. And in this way, we see the degree of empowerment in just 70 years old and doing so much. He made a house that the whole world can live in. He literally gave this whole planet everything. All we have to do now is just take advantage. Prabhupada says take advantage of the Hare Krishna movement. That's our job. And he also mentions in a purport, Srimad Bhagavatam, that if we don't take advantage of the Hare Krishna movement, we go to hell. Not that, you know, we can just take this lightly, but, you know, the modes are really intense now in Kali Yuga. So considering this, we taking advantage of the Hare Krishna movement, what does this really mean? It means, you know, accepting a society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, as a means of guidance, accepting one's authority, praising one's authority. How about that? You want to see your enemies go away in your life that you thought were friends? Just praise GBC. Praise Savas Prabhu. Praise all these people. They'll all run away from your life. All these obstacles will be gone. It's a great thing to do. Thank you for the service, Prabhu. You know, we act like that. They never heard such things practically, you know, and you'll make rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. Full faith. Why not apply this full faith program? and so we follow the program. And by following the program, we get a taste. We actually realize the holy name is everything. And if we have some realization that the holy name is literally everything, we know that intellectually at least, then why go for something if we have everything? Why not just stay with everything? Certainly the tenth offense is no longer there. We won't be committing the tenth offense, you know, Ten defenses to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions in this matter. There's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. So this can solve our attentive problem, inattentive problem. We'd be attentive to the holy name. Why not have everything? Why not focus on everything? Because any part you go for, everything is in, is it got that already. And much more. So, and I wanted to back up just a little bit. What does it mean to take advantage of the Hare Krishna movement? Prabhupada defines what the Hare Krishna movement is in a talk with Hari Sari Prabhu. And he says, he defines the Hare Krishna as this. Hey, rascal, please become Krishna conscious. That's his definition of the Hare Krishna movement, at least one of them. And what does that mean? That means we're preaching. We go to people. You're in the Hare Krishna movement if you go, hey, rascal, please become Krishna conscious. You know, that's the Hare Krishna movement. That's what we're all about, elevating people to knowledge, right? If we're not elevating people to knowledge, we're committing violence. So not that we use those words, newcomers. You know, not that we go, you might want to keep your teeth, try some different words. Prabhupada encourages us to, anyways, yeah. Respect others, be perfect, ladies and gentlemen. But that's the theme of what Prabhupada defines the movement. And we can't imitate Haridas Thakura, right? We're not capable of doing that. Maybe there's some people out there, but super elevated people here. But certainly for almost every one of us, we can't think that we can imitate Haridas Thakura and separate ourselves, not take advantage of the Hare Krishna movement, not take advantage of the preaching mission. And Los Angeles here is such an incredible opportunity to take advantage of this movement. You all might not realize how incredible you have it, this incredible association here. Savas Prabhu is doing such a beyond fabulous job. If you have any doubts in your mind with that, just throw them in the basket, you know, in a garbage basket, that is. And really, this is just a fabulous opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness. And I'd like to kind of end with a dream that I had that I'd like to share, dream, quote-unquote dream. I was about to, this kind of summarizes everything. I was about to start a music festival, and I was extremely exhausted from preaching work and driving and everything, so I decided to get a 5-10 minute snap nap. I laid down, and I instantly went into this different zone. And there was Prabhupada's Murti right there. You know, Prabhupada's Murti. And I went over to Prabhupada's Murti out of affection, just kind of tapped, you know, massaged his shoulder a little bit. You know, just tapped him on the shoulder out of affection. And he became alive. And he looked at me and goes, yells. And I go, oh, my God. And I tried to run away, but my mind, intelligence went, no, is everything okay, Prabhupada? You know, just kind of blipped out. And he goes, yes. And then I go, then I really want to run away. But then I go, wait, I got the opportunity to ask him for service. So I say, Prabhupada, is there any service I can do for you? And all of a sudden it turned into like the L.A. airport, people walking around everywhere. And he goes, yes, could you please stop somebody so I can preach to them? He could have asked me for anything, right? He has this desire he has everything. He's got the holy name. He just wants to give everybody everything. That was his only desire. And it wasn't just a statement. It was like a strong plead. Please stop someone so I can preach to them. This was just like a cry. Like an intense cry. And so I tried to stop people. Back then I was new and I didn't know how to stop people walking. So I said, Prabhupada, maybe we can go somewhere where somebody's sitting down. And so we walk in together. So cool, walking with Prabhupada. And, you know, it was like an open area. There was nobody around practically. And Prabhupada was right there. And this one guy goes, hey, you're the guy with the Science of Self-Realization book? Yeah, I want one. So I go, yeah, let me just have a couple bucks. And he gave me $3 or something. I gave him the book. And Prabhupada was right there. And there's no place anywhere. And nobody around. And a big open area. And I just go, by the way, there's this incredible spiritual master that wants to spend time with you. And all of a sudden, the guy kind of looks at me real funny, like with a smile. And I just thought, Krishna, what's up? You know? And then I looked for Prabhupada, and he disappeared. Like, right when he opened up the book, he just disappeared. So I realized so many things with this one little thing. That Prabhupada wants to preach to people, and that Prabhupada's in his books. And putting that together, if we really want to share everything with everybody as quickly as possible, we should at least consider book distribution. Prabhupada said so many amazing things about it. Most important activity, best way to spread Krishna consciousness, book distribution must be given stress always. So many other things. But we should consider, you know, if I were to, there's nothing wrong with talking to people one-on-one about Krishna. Certainly Krishna and Prabhupada wants us to do that, but why not also bring a book? Because how effective will we be? You know, we spend a couple minutes with somebody that might not want to listen to us anyways, and with how purified are we? You know, how purified are we? How much is going to get through to them? Whereas Prabhupada, you know, preaching to them will be a whole different ballgame. So we can consider, you know, if I were just to walk with no books out around the LA area and try to talk to people about Krishna, maybe I talked to three people that kind of sort of listened to me a little bit, maybe forgot 80% of at least of what I said. Or you can be like Brigapati Prabhu, not to put him on the spot, distributing literally 150 big books yesterday, not to mention probably another 150 small books. And people read these books. I hear this. Sometimes, quote-unquote seniors, they say weird stuff today. Do people even read these books anyways? Or what's the value of this book distribution? People don't read them. This is complete, 100% nonsense. I guarantee it. I'm out there every day. I meet these people. You know, how many times have it just been the last week have I met people? I've got that book. I'm trying to share it with somebody. And they're in the modes of ignorance, you know, put everything down. No, man. And their friend kicks in and goes, that's an incredible book. You got to get it. You know, how many times did you all hear that in the last 5 days? This is over and over and over again. You meet people. Oh, I've got that book in my backpack. I read it every single day. This book is amazing. And then you show them the rest of the books and they give you a huge donation. Madhukari was on the Warped Tour last year. His 15-year-old comes out and he goes, you know, I love you guys so much. Gave him a $100 bill. And then his friend, he goes, you know, I love you guys so much too. And he gave him another $100 bill. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. I know you all do incredible preaching everywhere, but if you look at the temples, the people in the temples, at least on the eastern half of the U.S., I'm sure on the west also, you talk to the people that are there, how they got there. You know, they got books. Not always, but many, many times. I got this at a music festival. This is so cool. And he joined the Hare Krishna movement. Like Bhakti Brandon, I met him. He got a book at the Warped Tour. He's playing music. Bhakti Brandon here is an amazing distributor. Nice devotee. Deva Krishna Prabhu. And he got a book at Warped Tour from Prahlad Nishinga. And then I met him later at Bonnaroo. I told him to become a guru. And I gave him a book also. And here he is, becoming a guru. You know, it really works. So there's a time frame here. So I encourage everybody to remember what the Hare Krishna movement is, that it's, hey, rascal, please become Krishna conscious. Here, excuse me, sir, nice hairstyle. Here, I want you to have this. It's a wonderful book on yoga and meditation. We just beg a little donation. You know, that's the Hare Krishna movement. Of course, Harinam is beyond important. Prabhupada wanted the whole cultural presentation package. We're not putting any of these programs down. But to remember that the classes can be an avenue to distribute books. That the pujari work, incredible pujari work here, is for, you know, elevating people to knowledge. That the temple was built here so we could send our troops out and pummel this place with books. You know, in Harinam, when you meet somebody favorable, many people, they won't take a book, but they'll be attracted to the holy name, and then they can take a book. Same with prasadam. So we need to remember that everything needs to revolve around elevating people to knowledge. And what this Hare Krishna movement is, it's a preaching movement. If this way we go to the right destination, sacrifice. Even if we die doing this, Prabhupada says it's glorious. There's no, you know, yesterday I was approaching somebody, says, you get away from me, I'm going to pepper spray you right now. You know, I was like, whoa, okay. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. Car wreck or whatever could happen at any second. But it's glorious. Sacrificing. One time, Dasaratha Prabhu told me the story of Vaisheshika Prabhu. They were distributing books in New York City, And Vaisheshiku comes over to him and goes, "Look, Dasara, somebody stabbed me with a pestle." And he pulls a pencil out of his hand. And then he kept distributing. So, I mean, he was like ecstatic. He was just blissed out. So what does it matter? And then you meet so many incredibly favorable, innocent, wonderful people that take these books like anything and literally read them every day. I met a guy yesterday. Yeah, I read this book and I gave up caffeine. He's addicted to caffeine. He's like, "I don't know why." And then he took a few more books. He's in a band. I told him to chant Hare Krishna. He's like, "Yeah, Will, this is cool." He's going to add the Hare Krishna movement to his music as a Hare Krishna, you know, mantra of the music. So I better stop here. Any comments or questions? Sorry. Yes, Prabhu. Okay, no problem.
Thank you for the inspiring class. And you mentioned the 10th offense to the holy name. So how should a preacher relate to the 9th offense? Don't preach to the glories of the holy name to the faithless.
Yeah, Prabhupada explains that in the, where is it, 18, anybody remember, around 67 maybe. one should not preach these. I'll just read what Prabhupada said. One thing is nobody, one guaranteed, and one who listens should not. Just to from now, sorry. Come on. Anybody remember where it at? 667. Anyways, in summary, Prabhupada says that, in summary, just practically speaking, don't preach to the faithless. Yeah, you meet somebody that's like, you know, oftentimes you meet a born-again Christian, you know, that you can talk to them. Somebody here spent half hour talking with a Christian on the Warped Tour, and where did he get? Where do you ever get? Nowhere. They make some blasphemy. They become more inimical. Where's the value? You know, they haven't heard a word you said. Whereas 10, 15 innocent people could have got books in that time. So when you meet somebody that is not obviously not interested, just move on to the next guy. The people are, but I've met a lot of people call themselves atheists because they don't like the religion that they come from. They don't like the cheating process. They've recognized it as a cheating process and they don't want any part of it, and so they're swinging. And then the flip side of the same coin. And so when you say, well, this is not a religion, you know, this is a science. In fact, you know, Prabhupada, this guy here, says the religions today are cheating processes for those who want to be cheated. You just made an eternal friend. He's like, wow, you're on my side. How much for that book? So it's because they call themselves atheists doesn't mean they really are. But there are seriously hardcore atheists out there, people that will happily rip up the book in front of your face and throw it in the mud puddle. You know, you kind of sense after a while who's who, and if you got any red flag about this guy looks a little weird, just move on to the next guy. We got 7 billion people here, or whatever it is, and lots of people, especially in LA, to talk to. I don't know if that works for you, Prabhu. I could elaborate more if you'd like. Okay. Hi, Chris. Yes, Prabhu. Mike.
When somebody wants a book, a Srila Prabhupada book, and when you ask them for money, sometimes their mood changes. They say, "Oh, you guys just want the money, but I want the book." Yeah. So when do I discriminate when to give them a book for free and when not? And also, one more question: if you could give us or me some pointers and distributing books to people in general. So those are the two questions I have.
Okay, first one being that when somebody, their mood changes and all of a sudden they're like, "Oh man, oh, you're not cool. You're asking me money for this." You can see the radical shift. Well, you can soften the radical shift to a less radical shift by, "You're a cool guy, you know," realizing you're trying to bond a little bit there ahead of schedule. And you know, just explain. You can just be real. You know, these cost money to make. I don't have any money. I'm a monk, and you just ask a little donation to help recover printing. That makes sense. You can just say it straight in his face, eye to eye. Done. If he has a problem with that, this guy's got a problem. Simple as that. But if he's interested and doesn't, if he's really interested and is tight on funds, he needs money for money and water, whatever, you know, that's cool. Just give him a free one if he's interested. That's the way I do it. You know, you can kind of size it up. And, you know, yes, Rue. Have we got hands back there? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So the answer to that question is actually in the purport today, that you see everything is Krishna's arrangement. You know, sometimes somebody's going to walk away with a book and not give it back. And I was at the airport with Mahamurti, and if you don't meditate on that, you get into trouble. It was during the marathon. He approached a guy, Oriental guy, spoke to him for a few minutes, gave him the book, and the guy was interested. He said, yeah, we just asked for donations. So the guy gave him $200. He said, well, can you give some more? And the guy looked at him and said, you said give a donation. I gave you a donation. But he kept pressing, and it turned into a big incident. The police came over. So you have to see everything as Krishna's arrangement. Sometimes you're going to get what you want. Sometimes you don't get what you want. Just move on to the next guy. Now, the thing I really wanted to ask you, though, was that for those who are not so absorbed in book distribution like yourself, it seems like you either have to go from 0 to 60 or nothing. You know what I'm saying? If you're not doing book distribution, now it seems like the next step is to get in a van with Bhrigu and travel for a month. There doesn't seem to be any interim steps anymore. In the early days, we used to have, you know, book tables at this place and this kind of different things that you could plug into right away and not be like, you don't have to be Bhrigupati overnight. So maybe you can talk about that. What are some interim, easier steps that the non-distributors can take to gradually get to the Bhrigupati platform?
You know, I've seen the difference between people making it long-term in book distribution and not is simply one statement that Prabhupada makes in here. Trying is the perfection. If you cannot take shelter of trying is the perfection as your entire focal point of advancing in Krishna consciousness, you won't make it. I'm not saying that's flat out stone here, I'm on the Vyasa song, but that's my experience. Those people that don't really take that to heart don't make it. Why? Because it's not about how many you do. Does that person you gave one book to all day long, does he care how many books you've distributed? You saved him from going down to lower species in the next lifetime. You've made an eternal friend. It's really just a matter of trying as a perfection. Just anybody can just take some books. I know it's super available here and super promoted. And you can just take books, ask Savas Prabhu, whoever the proper person is, how can you plug in? You don't have to be just Maharati overnight. It's not going to be that way anyways. It wasn't that way for Bhrigupati Prabhu. It certainly wasn't that way for me. For 2 years, I would go out, just grab some books, walk around the town, and I would distribute about five to ten small and big books a day. For 2 years straight. And suffer like anything, and also have the bliss, you know, just whatever, just going for it. And then when I got some training from Bhrigupati Prabhu, you got training here. It's so incredible. Then my scores quadrupled overnight. So you have everything here. And I'm sure management can arrange for you to get books. And really, it doesn't require... It just requires, hey, excuse me, sir. A little bit of training if you want. And you don't even require that. Prabhupada says purity is the only training. Purity is the only... What is it? Not training, but the only... Yeah. So, yeah, there's that too. So, that's all that's required. Follow the four, become an authorized representative of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada wants to preach to people. Try to fulfill his desire. Just give him Prabhupada books. Does that work? Just like the theme, the deepest theme of it. So we're a little over schedule. I don't know if it would be appropriate to have questions. Should we stop here? One more question? Yes, Prabhu.
It's not a question. I just wanted to make an addition to Bhakti David's question. I find for myself, you know, when we're speaking to someone and you're asking for money, I try to evaluate, you know, what is my motive? You know, where what's my attitude? You know, how do I come across to them? And so, you know, if I got a motive of being like, you know, I'm thinking about money, then it comes across like that. And I also think another very important thing to do is when you meet somebody is you establish rapport with them. You have to connect. You can't just, you know, throw this on people. It's the quality of what we're trying to do when we're preaching to someone. And if you build rapport and you develop a friendship, then people are going to be a little bit more inclined to hear what it is that you have to say.
You know, I apologize for not having the sensitivity considering the situation in answer to his questions, which you and Archita Prabhu has helped out with, and I really appreciate that. Certainly, I mean, I distribute God knows how many free literatures every day. At the every interaction, I say, is that okay? And if it's not, I'll make it okay. So all that has to be there. You're absolutely right, and I think Archita Prabhu hit it on the spot. You know, this is Krishna. Why is Krishna doing this? Well, maybe I'm a little tight on that things. You know, so see it as okay, this is the arrangement of Krishna. Let me try to make it right. And always, 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 100% of the time, go back to leave everyone with a favorable impression. I have to give a lot of free books. I don't think, you know, some of the people are going to treat some of these books nice. But just to, like, for example, there's this guy on a concert venue, books are flying out. A guy on top of a bus goes, "Don't take it to the Hare Krishnas. They rip people off." In the old days, we used to distribute. People used to distribute really bad. So I just, this is bizarre. I picked up a Hare Gita. It was a long ways away. I just went, and it landed in his hand, and it shut him up. And everybody started continuing to take books like anything. So, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do with that book, but, you know, why not, just for the sake of leaving everybody with a favorable impression, some go in the trash can. You don't know. You know, just let them go out. People pick them out of the trash cans and become devotees. I'd say, when in doubt, give them the benefit of the doubt. That's the policy that I use. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Oh, maybe he's had a bad day or whatever. Just take it, man. That'll leave it. One time I was on the campus, and this one guy just insisted he would take a book for some reason. You know, just take this small book, and he's complaining, "I don't have any money, I have no money, I have no money." I'm just like, "Man, just here. It's for free. Just please take it. You know, this is good for you. You know, you've got such a good heart. You know, you're so wonderful." And then he pulled out a wad this big of $100 bills and just flipped one off and gave it to me. You know, so you don't know what Krishna's just pulling and yanking at your heart and trying to purify you and get you into this free space of pure spiritual bliss. And just work with it and just be super generous with the literature, super kind to everybody, and just wonderful, you know, like that. But when you meet that super inimical person, you can walk away. You can stick up for things and just go, "You know, I'm sorry. I'm, you know." Like I gave one guy, he took a book from me, and I go, "How many did you take?" Because I've seen him take a few of them. He says, "As many as I've thrown away." So I go over to him, and I just say, "You know, I'd like that back." He said, "No." And so I just pulled it out of his hands. And not that I recommend that. He just started going, cops, you know. I'm like, "Oh, God. Yeah, all right, take it, but don't throw it away." You know, whatever. Just be cool. We have one more question if you want it. Everybody can leave if they want. Yes, Boo.
Yes, I'd like to say something. Oh. That you were saying earlier how we can connect devotees that maybe not be able to or maybe have the inclination at this time to be full-time book distributors. Well, Harinam is the perfect platform to swing into that. Harinam and book distribution go well together. Harinam has this polarizing effect that immediately it's like you can see by the people's expressions, facial expressions, who's favorable, who's not. Immediately, the devotee, he won't have to go through a lot of rejections, which you normally do when you go out there. Some people say, no. Maybe you get that one out of 10%, 20%. But when you do book distribution on Harinam, immediately you can see, look at that. Go right to them. You get a taste very easily. And Satchakrit knows that. He loves to come out and distribute books when we do Harinam. It goes really well together. So any devotee here, they should not only go on Harinam, they should make distributing books as part of their Harinam program. Get their feet wet. Go deeper. And also, I like to make one last little statement that Yendra Prabhu once said. He said, the purpose of our books, ultimately, is to convince the public to do the Yuga Dharma of this age. But we're not doing the Yuga Dharma. How will we convince them? So we should, all book distributors, they should also go on Harinam. and everybody is doing Harinam should also go book distribution. They are inseparable. They are one and the same.
Thank you. So we better stop there, huh? Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go Premanandji Hari. Is that pronunciating enough?